close the door, please. Thank you very much. And take a seat.
So here is a new sound. Have you heard the sound of a waterfall or of water falling? Tell me, what makes the sound here? The stone on which the water hits or the gushing water? Well, there again, it has to gush against something to make a sound, doesn't it? Think about it. With this background, we can now begin an interview with Hannes Fiesman, and it's all about a new sound. Sonic.
Oh, that sound.
Let's begin with our favorite word.
New favorite, yeah. No, just like more consequent toward the phenomena or something like that.
Okay, break that down.
Yeah, like sound is traveling everywhere through every structure, like always exceeding the boundaries of the visual, and also
boundaries of the
visual.
Okay.
Always exceeding boundaries of the visual, and also our body is in that space of sound, so we can perceive it also with the different parts other than listening and hearing only with the ear.
Like, I read something about how you're saying it actually has a form. So, like, when you have a sound, it's actually like a form, and it resonates with the things around the room, and sometimes even beyond what you see as the boundary of the room. Is something like what you're saying. Like, if you see the wall, and then if you picture the sound around coming out from the small speaker in the room, and it's, you can actually picture it probably bigger than the room, you know. So the sound is a little bit bigger, and it's more free, you're saying.
Yeah, it's like there's like more to it than we normally think. Or it's like it's an impulse, an event, a sonic event, so called, happening, and then the sound starts from there traveling everywhere where there's the possibility, as long as it can travel, and it exceeds in a certain point, and this is like a three-dimensional relationship, or like even a sculpture, you could say, because it like goes everywhere from there, from one place, and forms, as long as it can go, a form of a form in space, also a sculpture, you could say.
Mm-hmm. That's, you're saying sound sculpture.
That's one of the three important layers or dimensions of sound sculpture.
The other two being?
Like you have the body that's oscillating, that creates the sound.
You mean the speakers?
For example, speakers, instruments, okay. Also body. Like you can create with all kind of things sounds. So
the source you're talking about. The source.
It's like what creates the sonic event. Let's say you need some mechanic, some kind of impulse, mm-hmm. that can be like the air of our lungs, for example, with our voice, or a hit on the body. Like, and then also this kind of form creates a certain kind of sound. And it's like somewhere positioned in space, and that makes then the difference.
You mean it's important to have a very deep, sexy voice?
Not necessary. You can have all kind of voices, and they're beautiful. It's like more how you relate it in space. Like how you, where do you put a stone? Like if you want to record, where do you put the mic? You know, and that's like where do you put the stone?
Mm-hmm.
To get what effect,
mm-hmm.
in space.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that brings us to this important part. To let everyone know that the sound we heard at the beginning was the sound coming from a stone.
Mm.
Can we just have that sound again?
Yeah, let's have a list.
Can you do that one which goes...
Special wishes. <yeah.
laughs> Nice.
Yes, let's do it again. For our live and audience listening now from far away. Now. Have one again.
Now, imagine what our listeners will be imagining. Sound coming from a stone. Like the first time I heard it, I was thinking like how we make fire from a stone. We hit two stones together. Like, you know, something like that. But okay, so what I'm seeing here, let me try and give every listener an idea. So this is a shape which is like a 3D triangle. But it's round, and it's a huge stone, but it's got plates. Or okay, please help me here.
Yeah, like they can have different geometrical forms, and this each has a different effect on the sound and the possibilities you can play.
Mm-hmm.
Then material surely plays a role. How fast can the sound in the stone travel? How well interlinked and connected is the structure and each crystal, how many cracks has it, and how often get the sounds broken in a way, like the wave changes its direction because it can't like easily travel.
Yeah, I mean, that can get really negligible. Although I would, like, what stone is this? Is this a particular type of, so what is the name of the stone?
Yeah, This is a kind of gabbro.
What is the name again?
Gabbro.
Gabbro.
Yeah, G-A-B-B-R-O. It's like, it's great or grows and becomes cold very deep in the crust of the earth.
Uh-huh.
And they are under a lot of pressure and high heat. It cools down slowly and gets a very well-linked structure.
So wait a minute. You can't make sound on any stone. You have to have this stone. Is that what you're saying?
No.
And you have to have this shape and you have to have this design.
No, no, no. There are many other possibilities. But to have like this kind of sound and possibilities, then you need this kind of shape. But with other sounds, other aspects of perception also. For example, more presence in the room for listening and hearing, or like the altitude of the tonal structure. Like the smaller you go, the higher the sounds get normally.
Smaller in the sense?
A small stone has also very high sounds, you know. Like I can show you. Like this is one of the smallest.
Funny, it looks like marble, yeah.
Yeah, there's also marble that sounds well and looks similar. But this is way dense and stronger.
Gabbro is the English word?
It's also an English term. Okay. Like basalt and each, like...
Each stone will have its own flavor of sound.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Like nuances of differences, how far it travels, and then...
Like, see, for example, what I'm trying to bring to everybody's notice here is how you come into the picture from the stone sound perspective, but we are right now hitting a very expert note, you know what I'm saying? Like, you've come to the point of defining a type of stone which will give you a type of sound, you know, let alone just... imagining stone can also bring sound, like, you know. So it's not only starting for someone like me or the listener right now, this is probably a first in their lives ever, you know. But for you, this has been what, 20 years?
More than 25.
So which was your first experience? What made you play these stones?
Yeah, my father started to look into sound and stone, and then so he started the first experiments around beginning of the 90s.
Uh-huh.
And we as kids were also there and could like try and play, like first like glass and different just like trials how to create sound with rubbing and so we went to the Swiss Alps and collected stones there, and then slowly the first stones came and I was able to explore them and play and find sounds. And so, yeah, it was part quite early. And
what age was that for you?
Yeah, at like 12, 10, okay. 11, 12, in that area it started like.
Okay. And like right now... First, let's also understand something, that your father has got a lot of contribution in this area. Can you just enlighten on that part? Because it was a very interesting part when we first spoke about this. You remember?
Mm.
Like, did we speak about this at Apple House actually? Which is when you actually did the performance with Radhya?
I forgot, you mean. for a short time, but I think no, in another place.
But yeah, just refresh.
Long story short, he developed instruments mainly in the 90s and played with them many concerts all over the world. And they were mainly angle shapes, like high ones with long lamella. And
like he made instruments, you're saying?
Yeah, he's composed though. You can think about composing as a music instrument building. And so, because you create like a selection of tones in that shape, so it gives a certain kind of music and certain kind of possibilities, you know. Sure, you can put like a second one and then put this and mix it up and so on, but like to directly modulate each sound and go into it, like you have that shape, so in a way you determine composition also.
So what was his concept?
Bring stone into sound, all kind of different stones, and do music with it.
And he was playing with bands?
Yeah, with different ensembles. And.
Okay. Have you tried playing with bands? You were saying you did, probably.
Yeah, bands not so much, because like with the, there's all kind of noise going on and nobody's really listening. It's difficult with the stones. It's more like when there's more silence and then you can mix it with certain instruments and get some quite interesting combinations of sound and space.
You were playing somewhere in the UK with... Can
with
you tell
Stephen
me?
Halliday, yes, in Yorkshire Sculpture Park in last July 2017. We had a chapel for one day, did a workshop and a drop-in performance in the evening.
What performance?
Like we built a stone together. He made his master.
Okay, wait, that sounds funny. We built a stone together.
Yeah, like it was a process where we were finding out what is what he wants to have, you know, what is in his mind, in his process, and then we developed a stone, and he said like this kind of sounds would be what I want, and I thought like how can we reach it, and then we decided on a certain kind of cutting and possibilities to get in. The sounds you want, yeah.
So
he then, out of the recorded stone later, he built a virtual instrument where he can play the sounds and I can play live to them. You know?
Oh.
So we can like use speakers that in space and do a quite amazing composition with it.
Wow. How is it like? Do you have any recordings of that?
In internet, you can find it.
Oh, yeah. You have your own... that's a website you have, is it?
I don't have it own. I have to make mine, you know.
Okay.
It's a process still.
Oh. So. But what is that? It's your page? No, it's a blog.
Yeah, it's a page. Like a master in form of a page or a blog, you know.
Okay, okay. So that's got your profile and your things.
Well, there's all kind of information on it, you know. Like, because it's like a master at uni, Huddersfield University.
Don't say it. Let everybody find out. Say no more. Yeah, because the sound is very interesting. Like, to think about someone making music out of stone. I mean, listening to this would definitely make one want to see what this is all about. Like, I'm sure you don't really have another gig somewhere down here, because the last one you played was at Epple House on the 20th of October, and that's when there was this group called Radia that Radia and Bunch that
I supported sound-wise, that there's some special happening.
Yeah, that was a special thing, because they were doing some freestyle dancing, and then they were dancing to the music from the stone that you were creating. You know, you were the only musician there.
Apart
from
Radia as a dancer and director, composer in the way of the dance, like,
mm-hmm.
She, like I said, like, I help you and what do you need, and she said, like, I need this and this needs to happen, this is like the tension going like that to flow, and then I composed something to it and played it.
Nice. In fact, we interviewed her last time, and I think even her interview somewhere down the Bustavelli website. So, how do you get this done? Because now you've got to a level where you know the type of stone which will produce the type of sound with all its intricacies. So you go and get the stone A. From where is the question? And then you actually cut it yourself? Or...
Different. It depend what I need, you know, and what I can do. Because some things you can do in fabrics easy, like a big plate, Polish, they have machines for that, you know. I work 1 year on a huge plate. But for sure, my experiments and new trials and stuff, I do by myself. And depending on what is anyway for like deep cuttings like this in a stone, I need to go to places where they have then a big machine, or develop my own machine. But that's
or develop your own stone.
own machine for my leads, you know.
Yeah, of course. But no, I'm just kidding. Please don't mind. It's a matter of intrigue that someone is doing something like this, and the matter of intrigue has gone to a point where somebody's done a research, a PhD thesis.
Masters.
So who's this person?
Stephen was DJ in the end of the 90s, beginning then with Agent Sumo. And they created music together. And they were a team and quite successful at that time. How, like, leads house music in a way, you know. And and had like some 40, or I think, or was it? I don't know how much it was, but quite some top 40 hits in UK at that time. So he made filmmaking,
mm-hmm.
in first place, that his bachelor, and then master now in sound design, and decided then to research and explore the sound stones that I developed then in the last 10 years.
So, 25 years, starting from 12.
There's many playing, you know, and observing what's happening, what Daddy's doing, what others are doing. Concerts, played the first time in 96 in Tübingen. And then later in 2006 when I went to India and tried out there also Amazing Stone. And then somehow it started there.
In India?
Yes. I went to Auroville and met some people and project that worked with music, got an invitation, and were then trying to make a cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
But was, yeah, long story short.
No, go ahead.
Not always as simple with them.
But how was the conception? I mean, I'm trying to figure out now that it was India where you actually got into this stone music thing, actually, or stone sound.
No, thing? More than in like designing, you know.
Uh-huh.
And like, sure, it was the thing of my dad, and then and there, because I met a whole bunch of Tamil guys doing their music project and like a vocational training center at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now it mainly turned into a business. And it's not a project that came then out, and I was like,
Yeah, of course it is. All the underground becomes commercial at some point. Like,
yeah.
You know. But it's interesting to know, so there are stones from India as well?
Yeah.
And there are stones from the other parts of the world, and then you get them over here and you work with them or something of that sort? Or where is this stone from, like, for example?
This I worked also myself when I was in India, you know.
So this is from India?
This from India also. This is from Switzerland, a plate. Like, India you find quite nice stone. And also, like, many quarries, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I've...
Lots of people doing... working in that field, so you got, there's available quite
that's true,
some
that's
good
true.
stone.
No, some very good stones. In fact, I've hit my head against a couple of stones there, and there are some extraordinary results there, if I may say so. But perfectly good stone, I agree with you. Absolutely wonderful. Yeah, but it's nice. There was a more deeper meaning to this whole thing, which we hit upon some time back, which is a healing process. Can you give us some insight on what is this all about?
Yeah, in the first place, it has an easy access. Like you don't, like also with one hand you can feel and play, or with your body you can connect. So you have then mass in vibration that helps your blood circulation, like your whole body get into flow and movement, and then you can, like, through movement, and you can regulate also and define what is happening and what you're doing through ways of playing.
Nice.
And then the sounds are new, you know, like nobody, it comes not from that and that, it's like everywhere to find, it's just like a new nuance to the whole phenomena. And so it's part of every culture in a way, and but still unknown, so people can, like, easily approach it without having any preconditioning or judgment, and then, like, oh shit, what's that? And wow, this is a stone making that kind of noise and things and woof.
Yeah. I mean, the first time I heard a stone making noise was in the trains of Mumbai, if I may say so, when these small kids would come with these two stones in their hand and go tucka 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 tucka. You know what I'm talking about. They're just taking two stones in their hands and they're just going cluck 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 and to the beat, and they just sing their song along with it. And then now this is like a whole new world opened up to a point where you're actually just rubbing a stone and there's sound coming from it, and there are people dancing on the sound, and, you know, like, it's quite a range, and I'm sure it'll be very interesting to see more of you around, actually. Do you have a vision for this?
Oh, there are all kind of possibilities, you know, and so there's lots of work and lots to do, because many geometries or concepts that make sense have to be pursued, and there are quite many, so...
Like, for example?
Oh, you have, like, so many different kind of stones in one place. Like, many stones you have where the certain shapes are not made in that kind of stone, you know. So you have a lot of variety of shapes, or, like, possible forms and possible stones. So there's a lot still to explore.
Yeah.
Like, lots to do, you know.
Yeah.
And vision, sure, like, it goes so many, there are so many possibilities, and important is in a way that, like, if you make, for example, too strong or too loud sounds, that can be, like, because it's, like, a pure tone, is possible with rubbing technique, so a certain part of the ear gets into vibration, or you can hear that, and... For example, with amplification, you should be soft in a way, you know. Like, and always also when you play by yourself, you can regulate how loud you play. So you still, as also an artist, know what you're doing. With amplification, you can lose that, your own perception, because then you depend on your monitor, and if the monitor is not doing the right thing, then you don't know what's really happening, you know.
I mean, yeah, I can already imagine a band with different types of stones and five different people sitting with stones in front of them and playing something together, like, you know.
Yeah, more people even possible, you know.
From the possibility of just the type of stone to the density of the stone to the various negligible other factors, the person who's playing it, of course, that's a world that we yet have to see. we can only
explore,
we can only hear it right now on radio.
Sonically we can like slowly explore and find out more. Anyway, what I want to do is like a series of videos, just like related to the question what you had, what is the vision, you know?
Yeah.
Like one of the vision surely is to make it more accessible for people. Like I somehow had a phase of preparation and like tuning it finer with matter and form and learning what principles I have to follow. And because like I did a lot of different forms, like 7 or 10, 7 years ago, and then they were there and humanity and people didn't know what to do with it in a way, you know. Me either, I was like, what's happening? You know, everybody, ooh, what's happening? And and now after 10 years, this has worked in ways. And I was also like, oh, I have to stop in that point, because like what was done was amazing. So learn why and how it works. And then because to reduce also the mistakes, because surely you start to do mistakes, you think, okay, let's do it bigger. And suddenly not much is more happening.
You can refine it more, you mean. Because at this point of expertise or this new experimentation phase, to even call something a mistake might be a boo-boo. <You know?
laughs> Yes, sure, but this is very interesting. Where starts mistake or where starts also wrong, you know? Because you have...
What you want, rather, out of it. And where you land instead.
But also in this nuance that musicians also use the sound and also composers, for example. Mainly, they have somehow a pressure to go towards limits and not to places where it's like amazing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you make it like, or also sculptors, you know, if you want to do something new, you make like the biggest, you know, and or this shape what hasn't existed before, or that one, you know. Sometimes it makes sense, has a good effect. Sometimes it's just like one possibility and will be probably one piece and never happen again, you know. And so there's all this diversity in the way. This was about when you asked vision.
Uh-huh.
You know, and one vision, surely I also said it in my video, like brief history of Stone and Sound, the mm-hmm. Fesman story, that I want to work towards like an experience world.
Mm-hmm.
Of audiovisual experience. Sure, I miss the sonic here, you know, it's like feeling the vibration.
But you started from the sonic. We all started from the sonic. You know, it was the sound that started this whole universe, this
thing. Yeah, surely we also started first listening, then seeing, you know. Had a big party in the belly of mama. Yeah, so it's like the idea of through videos,
mm-hmm.
making the different stones and concepts, ideas, possibilities accessible. In a way I can also show what my work is, you know, what is there, what are the possibilities and things, and present the different shapes, different sounds.
Is there anyone else who's involved in something like this that you know of? Because I don't know anybody who makes sound out of stone.
There are quite some
except people. The people in Mumbai trains, like I told you.
Yeah, but there are many, many more.
Yeah.
Like, the history is very old. Like, the general one, you know. The, like, in every country, you find something that's related to stone and sound. So it unites humanity in a way.
Like, for example?
Oh, I can make you like it's a huge list if you from all kind of pieces of rock that are hit mainly to like tuned stalactites stalagmites in the in caves to flintstones to pillars to a huge diversity and so and you normally like that I would guess that there's no country where it doesn't exist in some way, you know, or it was once there. Just like you need to find because even the caves, also here where they found the first music instrument and art pieces, they also found flintstones that show some sound properties, you know. So it's at least also in that range of like 40 to maybe older in some places, and old getting normally older towards Africa from the technique and things. So it's was there quite long ago already,
It's like
and
starting from stone and I didn't want to say ending with stone.
yeah, we as like in evolution in one place we were monkeys hitting on stone and realizing that maybe one place, and then always like again okay throw the stones away forget it again you know and that all over. The last thousands of years, so it's like an adventure of discovering, forgetting, rediscovering, forgetting, and now that's leading then to more possibilities. And now forgetting is less of a problem because somebody normally remembers.
Nice. I'm enjoying this interview.
Getting into
Into the sonic
the
space.
sonic space and
No, because
the
it's interesting.
river that the possible meandering of the river just follow a little bit and see what's where it does lead
No,
to.
you're right at one thing, that the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, in the material also if you listen like behind the material and in the material and the possibilities we hear then you know also.
In the material.
Yeah, like we start and to listen more to nuances, we start to hear nuances in the sound. That before it was just like whatever, one tone, one note, B or G, whatever. And that's done. And then okay, with different instruments you can do it differently. But there's even like way more to it when we go into the nuances, into the fine structure of these sounds. And then adding even space from opens up again lots of possibilities.
Space,
So space
the
and
final
sound is
frontier.
like
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise.
important to reflect where you come at to the
Yeah,
first place again.
that reminds me of Star Trek. I don't
Okay.
know
Yeah, but space in the way connected to the room where the sound or the invisible sculpture of sound is.
why.
How and that defines it also how far it can travel, when it does exceed in space, in the room, defined where the sonic event is happening. And now this now we have a look at the different stones
You mean you
for
play some
different.
music for us?
I will show some sonic possibilities that stone has.
Oh. Shall we name it like a Madonna or a Michael Jackson?
Before we heard already the small one, you know.
Yeah, this was a small one.
Yeah, so we play a little bit the small one.
Okay, I mean, yeah, whatever. Small one, big one. They would get to know once they get on to the website. What is the name of the link of your blog or page? Webpage?
Like my own page is then Stone and Sound. Will be also probably hannesfestmann.org.
Okay.
But it's not yet saved. And before you publish, you need to.
You've already said it, but we already know, and Google knows it before us all, anyways. So cool.
Thought like hannesfestmann.org is like a nice one, I think. And then for my works and sculptures, and I can do maybe find other ones
Also,
for the. different things I do.
Breaking it down to sound logic was our very own Filderstadt, Deutschland-born Hannes Fiesmann. Next are a few samples of music from Stone by Fiesmann, followed by a little word from his father, Klaus Fiesmann. That was Mahesh Vinayakam from India. Their first concert together was in 2007 in India, and their second was in Switzerland in 2010. This is a recording from his November 2017 visit to Hannes Fiesmann here in Deutschland. It starts with the sound of water. The location is a small stream where water trickles down and around few rocks. That was Hannes Fiesemann playing with the stone at a spot with a little water and rocks in nature. And now comes his dolphin series, named after this particular stone and how its shape resembles a dolphin. This one's called Resonances. Thank you. And that was Sound by Hannes Fiesemann. Of course, it was a very lovely interview, a nice human being, extremely joyful and happy about doing what he does. His father, Klaus, has also been working closely with understanding resonance and how it works with the minds of children, possibly even refugees and people who have been through trauma, etc. The possibilities are endless. The sky is the limit. But that's always the case, isn't it? Talk about sound logic. And while we speak with Hannes Fiesemann, there is also a small clip that we can play of Klaus Fiesemann. Some few tips that we can use when trying to understand this concept without really looking at it right now, as it's just on radio. Well, free radio. Free radio Vostavele. Ears where it all is. And all around our ears, of course. So just like Hannes Fiesemann said, right from mama's belly to right now and ever after for each one of us, it's sound all the way.
Als erstes muss der Klangstein gut genässt werden mit viel Wasser, schönem warmem Wasser. Auch die Hände müssen weich sein durch das Wasser. Und so benetze ich den Klangstein jetzt und fahre so ganz langsam auf dieser Wasseroberfläche hinüber, hin und her, um einfach diese Lamellen so nach und nach in Bewegung zu versetzen. Ich nehme also meine Energie der Hand, meine Handbewegung, übe überhaupt keinen Druck aus, sondern gleite nur ganz leicht über den Stein hinweg. Und schon ganz am Anfang hört man schon Klang, die ersten Klänge, die aus diesem Stein rauskommen. Die Energie, die ich durch diese Bewegung habe, durch das Hin- und Herfahren. Manchmal mache ich eine Bewegung, wo beide Hände in die gleiche Richtung abwechselnd gehen. Manchmal nehme ich auch hier eine synchrone Bewegung. Oder ich spiele so hin und her. Ich nenne es immer die tremolierende Bewegung. Die Hände so hin und her. Meine Hände sind ganz weich. Ein wenig anspanne, kommen besonders die hohen Töne gut. Und ansonsten höre ich die tiefen Töne durch den Ballen, wenn ich entlang ziehe. Ich bleibe immer im Tempo, verändere das Tempo nie, sondern bewege mich einfach auf diese Lamelle. Und auf diesen vielen Lamellen, wenn ich jetzt anspanne, kommen die hohen Töne. Dass das Wasser nachlässt, gehe ich mit der Hand wieder rein, benetze den Stein. Jetzt hier hinten zum Beispiel kann ich tiefe Töne spielen und gleichzeitig ganz viel hohe. Ich kann mit einem Ton anfangen, einen zweiten hinzufügen, den nächsten mittleren dazufügen, den nächsten höheren. Konstante, gleichmäßige Bewegung. Das ist das Schöne am Klangsteinspiel. Hier einen Brocken von Stein gibt, der ungefähr 150 Kilo schwer ist. Und dass es federleichte, wunderschöne, feine Töne gibt, die langsam aus dem Stein entstehen, nicht schnell, nicht hektisch, nicht in einem ganz lauen, schnellen, lauten Bereich, sondern einfach in einem sich entwickeln. So kommt der Stein und der Klang nach und nach zur Ruhe.